Hey everybody, welcome to the True Crime Squad. I'm Christy Brower, here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Katie Weaver. Hey, Katie.
Hello.
How's it going?
I think I'm just still reeling from, well, court today.
I'm drinking a glass of my favorite wine and a not wine glass. So, yeah, wow. I hear you.
It looks fancy. I am drinking gin. This is it's grapefruit gin. It's so good. In sugar-free yes, strawberry lemonade.
Nice.
It must be the last day of the week for us.
Yes, it is. For us, it is. This is Stella Rosa Black.
Oh, I love Stella Rosa Black. Yeah.
So, guys.
I wonder how many of these Detective Hermosillo has had this afternoon.
Oh, my God. That man needs to win $1 million and go to Disneyland. It was quite a day. In the courtroom.
I hope he's 6 whiskey sours deep by now. That's what I hope.
Oh my God, right? He's probably just trying to get home and away from this fucking mess. So, welcome, Chrissy. Chrissy says, I have been watching for years, just never joined the chat before. Well, we're so glad you're here.
Welcome.
And welcome to everyone in the chat. It's so nice to have all of you here. We know we've got a lot of new faces. Mm-hmm. And we just adore you all. We're so glad you're here. Yes, isn't this pretty? See, this is why I use it as a wine glass. See, it's this it has this rainbow iridescent
it's beautiful
finish to it. It's really pretty. And also, it's not fragile like a wine glass because I break shit all the time. So I like a little bit heavier of a tumbler that is, you know, less likely to shatter into a million pieces.
Mom of BSE says, after watching John Pryor today, I'm inspired to make a John Pryor inspired pincushion.
Oh, my God. Aren't we all?
That seems right. Yes.
If today was one of those, like, this meeting could have been an email, this hearing could have been an email, except John Pryor does not know what the fuck an email is, if you will recall. Mm-hmm. So the whole day, and court did end a little over an hour early today, and the whole day was Detective Hermosillo on the stand. In the morning was rough because it was more explaining the children's bodies being found and being taken to the forensic lab in Nampa and the autopsies and stuff like that. It was very rough. This is the day that defense attorneys hate because this is when the result of the defendant's actions are being shown to the jury.
Yeah.
And so John Pryor.
It was graphic and brutal.
It was graphic and brutal. Jurors cried. Jurors cried in Lori's too. I mean, it's awful. Now, we saw these things in person the first time, and they didn't show the graphic stuff to the live stream, which is okay. I didn't need to see it again.
You guys don't need to see it. If you didn't last time, you don't need it in your head forever. I promise.
You definitely don't. No.
Yeah.
John Pryor maybe broke a world record in number of objections today. I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm going to say no.
Stupid as hell.
I'm going to say no. Yeah, only because of the Darrell Brooks trial.
Oh, you're right. Of course he's the reigning champion.
he shall never be defeated. Yeah.
He shall never be defeated. It is true. Yes, I think you're right, Michelle. He's going for 1 million objections. Today was rough. It was hard to listen to because it was so brutal and there were so many objections and so many sidebars. And so the whole morning was just struggle bust.
Yeah. Detective Hermosillo struggled a few times. It was this poor man stuff to have to keep reliving. Yeah.
How many more times is he going to have to tell this stuff? But he is such a pro and did an excellent job. Right. Flash Fan was tracking them for us in the chat. But who knows how many there were? A zillion.
Yeah.
Jess, you'll jinx it. And we'll get someone that says, hold my beer. I'll outdo Brooks. Oh, my God. I mean, if you guys didn't watch the Daryl Brooks trial, you should probably go back and find some videos. It is the damnedest thing I've ever seen in my life.
You've never seen anything else ever.
He represented himself. I don't know if that's really what you can call it. When you are constantly getting kicked out of the courtroom. It was insane. But anyway, it was rough this morning. And so I'm not really going to go through a lot of what happened this morning. Because it was all that stuff. And if you want to know, go back and watch the live stream. You can see it all. It was just the discussion of the state of the children's bodies, the autopsies, that kind of thing. It wasn't like
autopsy one thing,
reports and stuff yet, but.
Yeah. The one thing I'll bring up that was a shock last year that if you didn't follow his case last year, didn't catch this. JJ's mouth was completely bound in tape, as were his wrists.
Mm-hmm. And his head was just his wrapped.
His entire head. It is possible and maybe even likely at this point that's how JJ died. That he was
That's what the medical examiner said.
Yep. That he was alive when he was wrapped up in all that shit. Yeah. And that's the thing that I just can't. And Chad, looking at these pictures, was actually emoting. Which is amazing.
Shaking his head a few times.
Shaking his head and stuff. Yeah, looking at these pictures, which acting like he'd never seen them before, which he should have. He could have. His attorney has them.
Right.
But he acted quite, I don't know if shocked is the right term, because I think he's seen it all in, you know, Technicolor, but in action. But he was actually acting like... he was emoting, which Chad never does, ever.
No. I mean, in nearly 4 years, we've never seen him do that. So then after lunch, we, Hermosillo was back on the stand, a little bit more questioning from Wood. Then began the dumbest cross-examination I've ever heard in my whole life, maybe.
Well, the most disorganized. Our Chatters decided that, you know, they call Chad PWAP, PW,
mm-hmm. Prior.
AP, or yeah, Prior, sorry, which started out to be Prior without, or Prior with a Prior, and then it morphed to Prior without a paycheck, and today it turned into a Prior without a plan, because what the hell was all of that?
Yeah, yeah. It was wild. He jumped all over the place. He brought up Joe Ryan. He brought up Melanie Gibb and what's his name? Her boyfriend at the time. I can never remember that guy's name. Anyway, it was so bizarre and all over the place. And I think because he's already made plans to recall Detective Hermosillo as one of his witnesses. And so David Warwick, thank you. I don't know why I can't remember that. I should remember Dionne Warwick, and then, you know, that would help me.
Maybe.
But he was all over the place. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of objections. And one of the big things that kept happening is that when the prosecution makes an objection, Prior just keeps fucking talking. Mm-hmm. And the judge was so sick of it. Mm-hmm. So sick of it. Oh my God. And he stopped calling him Mr. Prior and just started calling him Prior. I told you, if there's an objection, you stop talking. But he did. It's all the same bullshit that he pulled in Chad's preliminary.
Oh yeah. All of it.
He was just rude and disrespectful. He called Detective Hermosillo officer over and over again. Wouldn't call him by his rank, which I think is ignorant.
Very disrespectful. Yeah.
I would have started calling him Grandpa Prior or something, you know, just to get him back at him, because it was so bizarre. But I think Prior had a list of things that he wanted to get Hermosillo to say, because then he's going to hit him with them when he gets his direct examination of him. That is part of what I think was happening.
I think so.
And some of it was that Prior just fixates on the weirdest shit. Like,
oh yeah, he loses the argument, plot immediately.
Totally. Like a whole thing, a whole back and forth thing about how many yards is Chad Daybell's driveway?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever, you know. But a really, really interesting thing happened. He fucked up big time, because he started asking, he asked Ray all these questions, and Ray is so professional, Hermosillo, I should say. So he's very, very professional. And so he, yeah, if he didn't know, he would say, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on that. I don't have that in front of me right now, or, you know, whatever. Like,
very careful. Yeah.
He wouldn't say anything that he didn't know for sure. Shit.
Yeah.
So then Pryor started asking him, well, do you believe that's true? Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Well, Pryor stepped in it big, because he opened the door for a redirect from Wood that allowed Wood to ask Hermosillo what he believes happened. And Pryor tried to object and couldn't, because he opened the door on that. I couldn't believe he did that. Mm-hmm. Like, police officers don't usually get the opportunity to say what they believe happened, but he totally opened the door. So I have put together a little recap vid. It's not everything that was important today, but it was some things that happened right at the end of the hearing that I think were very important. So let's play that for you.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and talk about it some more.
Lori Mallow, correct? At least on the 22nd, JJ Vallow was there, correct?
That's correct.
Melanie Gibb was there, correct?
Correct.
And David Warwick was there?
Correct.
Okay. And on that evening, there were, they were conducting some sort of a religious podcast, the three of them, correct?
Yes, sir.
And the allegation is that JJ was acting up and went into the care of Alex Cox.
Correct.
And then Alex took JJ into a separate apartment, correct?
On which day?
On the 22nd.
He took him to apartment 107.
Correct. Right. His apartment, or whoever was on the lease for that apartment, right?
That's right.
Okay. And then the last time that anybody saw JJ was later that evening. Is that fair?
Yes.
And at that point, you believe that JJ Vallow was already dead.
I can't testify to the time, but I believe he was killed.
Okay. But then within 2 hours later from that morning, you believe that he was buried on Chad Davis' property. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay.
Attempted shooting of Timmy Davis.
And you testified you don't believe it was a paintball gun.
That's correct.
So why not?
Through our investigation, we learned that Alex Cox was in the area and on the property of Chad Daybell the morning that Tammy Daybell was shot at, October 9th. Through Google searches from Homer J. Maximus, which was Alex's Google account, the night that Tammy Daybell was shot, it was a colder evening. And the Google searches were how to make an AR-15 function in the cold weather. On October 8th, the night before we believe Tammy was shot at, Alex is Googling drop yardage from 300 yards to 100 yards, which we assumed when you're shooting a rifle, you're adjusting your sights to your target. That was the night before. The morning of the shooting, Alex was on Mr. Daybell's property. We have him driving up and down the road of Mr. Daybell's property and also on the property. Later that evening into the early morning hours of October 10th is when he Googled how to make your AR-15 function in cold weather. So that's why we believe.
Did the fact that Tammy Daybell died 10 days after that incident have any bearing on whether or not you believed it was a paintball gun?
Yes.
Did the fact that Chad Daybell got married 17 days later have any bearing on your belief whether or not it was a paintball gun?
Yes.
The fact that there were two children buried on Chad Daybell's property have any bearing on whether or not you believed it was a paintball gun?
Yes.
did the fact that Lori Vallow's husband died within months of these other deaths have any bearing on your belief of whether or not it was a paintball gun?
Absolutely.
And finally, did the fact that Brandon Boudreau was shot at on October 2nd, 2019 have any bearing on your belief of whether or not it was a paintball gun? And finally, did the fact that Brandon Boudreau was shot at on October 2nd, 2019 have any bearing on your belief of whether or not it was a paintball gun?
Yes.
And it's your belief that Alex Cox was tied to these events, correct?
That's correct. Okay.
And because you were asked about your beliefs, was it your belief that Chad Daybell was tied to these events?
Yes.
Why?
Based on our investigation, the lies that we've been told, the fact that we tried to get a hold of the kid's mother, Lori Vallow, the kid's stepfather, Chad Daybell, their uncle, Alex Cox. We weren't able to get a hold of anybody. We were left in the dark. Based on all those events, that's what our beliefs were as a collectively.
Pursuant to your investigation, you know when Alex Cox died?
December 12th, 2019.
At any time after Alex Cox died, did Mr. Daybell call the Rexburg police to report that there might be dead children located on his property?
No, he didn't.
Did he call the Rexburg police with any concerns that perhaps his wife had been harmed by someone?
No, he didn't.
Did he call the Rexburg police before Alex Cox died to say he might be in danger?
Judge, we're going beyond the scope.
Again, so the first time you met Chad Daybell, what was the first thing you asked him when you had an opportunity to speak with him?
Just an answer.
This is a response to the cross you're over.
I asked him when the last time he saw J.J. Vallow was.
And when did he answer?
In October, in apartment 107 with Lori Vallow.
And did you ask for Lori Vallow's phone number?
I did.
And what was his first response?
Judge, this has been asked to answer.
It's in a response to the cross. Overall.
His response was he didn't know her cell phone.
And that, friends, is why you need an experienced attorney, because Rob Wood tap danced all over Pryor's face right there. That last little bit with Wood, and then that Pryor had a couple more dumb questions that didn't make any sense, but that was basically the end of the hearing.
Yeah.
And because of what Pryor had done in asking Hermosillo those questions, it opened the door for this conversation about exactly why they knew that that was not a paintball gun that was attempted to be fired at Tammy, because all of these other people around her died and she died.
Yeah.
Pryor went on and on and on about how they could possibly have known that that wasn't a paintball gun. Well, here's one. There were no paintballs.
Right. That's the argument that gets me on the property every time. Have you ever seen a paintball gun shot? First of all, if you get hit by a paintball, it hurts like a mofro.
We'll leave a big bruise.
And then there will be paint everywhere. If he shot at her with a paintball gun and missed, there would have been paint on the car, on the driveway, on the garage, maybe on Tammy. But there was no paint anywhere. Or paintballs that had gone unexploded. That doesn't make sense to me.
Not at all. If someone was firing a paintball gun, there would have been paint. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember that Hermosillo came in well after that was reported. Mm-hmm. And so he's looking at it with the totality of all of these other dead people.
Yeah.
Including Lori's husband.
Yeah.
And of course, that is what they thought.
Yeah.
And yeah, the first two questions he asked Chad Daybell the first time he met him. Have you seen JJ Vallo recently? When was the last mm-hmm. time you saw JJ Vallo? In October, in apartment 107 with Lori Vallo. Mm-hmm. We know JJ was dead. He died the night of the 22nd of September, yeah. right? So that was obviously not true. Mm-hmm. If he had nothing to hide, why did he lie about that?
Yeah.
And then he asked him if he had Lori Vallo's phone number, and he said, no, he doesn't have her cell number. And they were married at that mm-hmm. point. That conversation happened.
And right indicated at the end that he hardly November. Knew her. Yeah.
Yeah. They'd been married for a couple of weeks at that point. Yeah. So it was a wild day, but boy, did Wood capitalize on it right at the end.
Oh, I would imagine when he opened the door, yeah, that they were just over there elbowing each other like, did you hear that? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you heard Pryor in the first clip. Mm-hmm. Do you believe? Yep. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Thanks for asking that question, sir. That was real dumb.
Mm-hmm. Because, Detective Hermosillo has a lot of firm beliefs on this case, and you just gave him the opportunity to share them all in very convincing way at the end of the day, at the end of the week, for the jurors to go home and ruminate on.
And really think over. Well, and you know, the thing is, no matter how ignorant Pryor got, and he got real ignorant, Hermosillo never changed his demeanor. Mm-hmm. He was very professional and kept a cool head mm-hmm. the entire time.
Yep. And I'm sure he was seething and wanted to snap him in half a few times, but he continued to call him sir. He continued to just be 100% pro. He did an excellent job. He killed it. Yep. But when he testified at Lori's trial, he put on a masterclass. And you'll see if they get some of the other Rexburg PD on the stand, they aren't all this well-spoken.
No, they're not. Some of them really struggle with the timelines and the dates mm-hmm. and stuff, but not Hermosillo, man. He knows mm-hmm. it all.
Of course, maybe they won't put those guys on the stand this time. Well, maybe they'll be more prepared. We'll see. Last time we suggested that Ray teach them all a class on, like we have lots of
And we actually heard that some of those officers actually listened to us and heard that. Heard us say that. Which is pretty hilarious. They all do
great. Teach them your ways, Detective Hermosillo. Teach them your ways.
It's just that, you know, it is so much information to remember.
Mm-hmm. But very, very smart. If you don't know, say you don't know.
Yeah.
Don't ever make a supposition. Don't ever grasp at something that will come back and bite you in the ass and hurt your case. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and yes, Jess, he waived his right to object to the 404B evidence, which is the prior bad acts evidence.
That's the other biggie. Yep.
Oh my God. After he made the judge research it for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a part of his case. He wants to be able to prove that Lori and Alex were big pieces of shit before they ever met Chad. So clearly it couldn't be Chad's fault that all these things happened, because these two were already murderers when they met Chad. Unfortunately, though, that's not true, because they were already in cahoots with Chad when they did the murders, because nobody's ever going to prove Joe Ryan. That's off the table.
Right.
It just doesn't matter. It does matter, but it doesn't matter in this instance. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and he's a detective. That's the term he uses. That's the term Wood used, is detective. Uh-huh. Yeah, but I mean, we're seeing already why Pryor is not qualified to do this. Mm-hmm. We all knew it. Everyone knows it, except him and Chad Daybell. But
fuck around and find out. Things that he ought to leave alone. Picking at things that he's exposing that is actually making it worse for his client, not better.
Absolutely.
Out of just ego. And wanting to prove something. I have felt from the very beginning that Pryor is constantly looking for his Perry Mason moment, you know? And you hear it from him sometimes. You can see his face gets redder. He gears up. He throws something out there, hoping to get some kind of, you know, outrageous response and that shocks the room and shocks the jury. And instead today, he screwed Chad real hard.
Yeah. He did. Is Pryor setting Chad up for ineffective assistance of counsel? No, because Chad has confirmed to the judge over and over and over again, right up until right before this trial started, that this is his attorney that he is choosing, that he did pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's had a lot of opportunities over the years to change that, and he didn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you guys are hearing that maybe he was upgraded to lieutenant. It could be.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. He's always gone by detective as far as I know, but that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Pryor did get aggressive.
Aggressive with the judge today. He was really on one.
Well, he was. He wants to just keep going. He's just like a, train off the tracks. You know, it's just You know what I mean? No brakes. Train without brakes.
Yeah,
just hurtling down a hill, and he cannot stop himself. And then he kept talking over Hermosillo, and the court reporter was like, "You got to slow down. I cannot make a record of this," over and over again. Mm-hmm. He was admonished for that. He just did not have a good day in court.
No. And I don't think it sunk in until the redirect.
Yeah.
I don't think he quite got it. There was that moment when he said, "You'll catch him doing this. He'll say something and then say to the witness, wouldn't you agree that..."
Yeah, that's a big one he says a lot.
And says something to try to get them to agree. And he said that to Detective Hermosillo. He said, "Wouldn't you agree that Tammy was just shot at by a paintball gun?" Yeah. Hermosillo said, "No, I wouldn't."
No.
And started this shit right there.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Open the door wide. Yes, my two cents. I think so, too. He confused the shit out of the jury. He brought in Joe Ryan's death. He brought in Alex Cox's death. Mm-hmm. They don't even know who those people are. This, you know, lots of leading questions from Pryor, but it just doesn't work on Hermosillo. He's way more of a pro than that.
Yeah.
Yes, and Boyce did yell at him over and over again. Oh, Boyce can get real pissed, and it's generally... at Pryor. When we've seen it happen in court, it's almost always been at Pryor, because he just can't stop himself.
Or at Little Marky Means, but it's been a hot minute.
Yes, that Mark Means. Oh, God. Yeah.
I think he led Mark Means to, Mark Means led him to drink. That's my opinion, but.
Probably. Yeah. So it was quite a day. And. Yeah. Flash, you said a few minutes ago, and you're totally right, it was like Pryor was trying to lay out the entire thing with one witness. He asked him about all kinds of stuff that he wasn't even directly involved in, and he would say, "I don't know, I wasn't a part of that. I wasn't part of that part of the investigation." Mm-hmm. And Pryor was like, "You don't know? Are you sure?" You know, kind of shit that you're like, you know, it wasn't just one detective that put this case together. It was multiple, you know, police entities and the FBI that put this case together. Okay. Jess says Pryor was on cross. You're allowed to lead on cross. Okay. Well, he did try, but you know, Hermosillo was very good at saying, "No, I don't know. No, I don't agree with that. I can't speak to that." He just didn't give him anything.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about 404B for a second. You guys have got some questions. So here's what 404B is in the Idaho code. Prohibited uses. 404B is about crimes, wrongs, or other acts. Evidence of a crime, wrong, or other act is not admissible to prove a person's character in order to show that on a particular occasion, the person acted in accordance with the character. The permitted uses. This evidence may be admissible for another purpose, such as proving motive, opportunity, intent, preparation, plan, knowledge, identity, absence of mistake, or lack of accident. In a criminal case, the prosecutor must A, file and serve reasonable notice of the general nature of any such evidence that the prosecutor intends to offer at trial, and do so reasonably in advance of trial or during trial if the court, for a good cause shown, excuses lack of pretrial notice. So in Lori's trial, they had been fighting this out for a minute, that they were going to want to bring in some of her past bad acts from Arizona and Alex's. because it helped to prove intent, and it also helped to prove the help me.
Well, the conspiracy, or the common scheme is the word that they used in Laurie's trial. The common scheme that this group of people participated in a common scheme that resulted in, and some of them, you know, did so at a criminal level, and some of them did not. Mm-hmm. And that's why some of them are charged and some of them aren't.
Yeah. And so in Laurie's trial, the judge they'd fought this out, and the judge had said, yes, I'm going to allow 404B with some very specific instructions to the jury about how they're able to or allowed to interpret the information that's being provided that could be considered 404B. So as you know, a million times in Laurie's trial, Archibald and Thomas objected on the terms of 404B, partly because they wanted to set that up for appeal. And that's exactly what's being appealed in Laurie's case, in case you're wondering. But that's what happened. So in this case, again, the prosecutor said, we are going to be arguing 404B. And Pryor said, okay, before they got to trial. He stipulated on that. He said, okay. So then today, 404B arguments came up. But Pryor also opened the door for 404B in his opening statements, because he brought up the death in his opening of Charles. And he brought up the attempted murder of Brandon Boudreau. So you can't have it both ways. So 404B is not going to be a thing in this trial. It's not supposed to be, at any rate.
Yeah.
So does that make sense? Does that answer your questions on 404B? I know it's kind of confusing, but that's...
Well, and I suspect they're not done arguing over it. He's going to try, but he screwed himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he is making a record, and so he probably will continue to... He'll continue to object it, and the judge will just continue to deny it, and they'll just keep moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how about the little moment when he tried to suggest that maybe it was Chad driving the Dodge Dakota? Maybe Alex was trying to kill Chad. He tried to float that.
Yeah.
And it's not flying. Yeah. Hermosillo said, how do you know that whoever was shooting that wasn't shooting at Chad Daybell? And he said, well, because Chad Daybell didn't call 911 and report someone was trying to shoot him. Tammy Daybell did. It was like, Jesus Christ, dude. Plus, they have other witnesses who will say that, yes, it was Tammy that was driving that vehicle. Mm-hmm. She was getting groceries out of the back of it when the, shooter person, when that alleged event happened.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the son-in-law came running and Chad came running, but it was because they talked about some of Homer J. Maximus's iCloud account. That name just kills me, which is Alex. Mm-hmm. Some of his searches, and he searched, can such and such a gun shoot through the windshield of a, I don't know why you would even have a question about whether a gun could shoot through a windshield of a car, but
he was trying to determine what angle he would need to be at and what speed be going in order to hit the person in the driver's seat. And also because it was winter, like there was all these things to try and figure out, and I'll be honest, he would have been a lot more successful not trying to play Rambo with an AR.
Because he was a terrible shot. He attempted two shootings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
ARs are hard. They're hard to aim. And he didn't know what he was doing with guns. And I'm glad, honestly, that was the gun he was using, because he missed everybody. But poor Tammy. But at any rate, he would have been better off to not be going straight Rambo with that gun. But whatever. He was an idiot. Alex was not a high IQ person. I don't know if you guys have gathered that yet, but he wasn't a very smart guy.
No, he wasn't. He struggled a lot. And they'll later bring in a lot of evidence about him shooting at the shooting range outside of Rexburg. Like, he was trying, but he tried to,
what he was doing.
You know, it's alleged that he, did the shooting with Brandon Boudreau, didn't hit him. The gun didn't go off, because it jammed. They think that it jammed because he built a silencer himself. Because there was some Google searches about that, and that he did it wrong, and so the gun didn't fire. Uh-huh. A lot of that will come in later. Did Alex have a traumatic brain injury? Yes, he did. Uh-huh. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. I had something else on that. Now I can't remember. It must not have been that exciting. Chad had put Alex in charge of the Warriors. Don't you know?
That's right. Yeah.
In their imaginary tent cities and field of 144 and all that shit. He was supposed to be in charge of the Warriors. Alex, who drove truck for a living, who didn't have any military experience, law enforcement experience, even weaponry experience. He was going to be in charge of the Warriors. So he had spent like his life savings on guns, all those guns that they found.
Yeah.
And the cash, I did not hear that in Lori's trial, that they had recovered a whole bunch of cash. But they said that yesterday. And I don't know if I missed that last time, but they apparently recovered a bunch
of cash. No, they said it last time, too.
Did they?
But, you know, he took out a big loan. He quit his job. Mm-hmm. He took out a big loan. He came up here to buy the guns, to be the Rambo guy.
Yep.
And, you know, he was trying to prepare for that. But he was definitely not actually capable of it, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Can they bring Alex info like that in to show he didn't plan or lead? Oh, there's tons of it. Mm-hmm. Eternally, there's tons of it in their communications between their phones. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of it where he's like, aye, aye, Captain, you know, and stuff like that. Like,
you're the boss.
You're the boss. Yeah. At some point, I think some of them were calling Chad father, which was gross and weird. Mm-hmm. So there are definitely a lot of times in which you can see that Alex was not the mastermind of anything.
Yeah.
He was definitely the muscle.
Definitely. I know what I was going to say. In Lori's trial on the witness list, there were quite a few of the teachers that she worked with, that Tammy worked with. Tammy was a school librarian at an elementary school in Sugar City, Idaho, just outside of where they lived. And there were several teachers, people that we knew on the witness list, and they never got called. But today when he was starting that shit about how could we prove what car Tammy drove, maybe she drove the other car and maybe Chad drove this car. And I thought, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Even if Tammy's kids won't tell you what car she drove, why don't you call a few of her friends in, because she had lots of friends. Call a few of her neighbors, her ward mates, some people who went to church with her, her coworkers. The
people that went to her dance classes and her Zumba class and, you know, were training for a marathon with her. Like, she was very social.
If you just need a half a minute to go ahead and prove what car Tammy tended to drive on a daily basis, it's not going to be hard.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, Lori. I forgot about that. Melanie Gibb called Lori mom.
Yes.
Weird, creepy, icky stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And yeah, Flash fan, I think it's a mistake that Pryor really did show his whole hand in the opening. Like, we know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to try. We know that the kids are going to testify that Tammy was sickly, except there's absolutely no evidence of that at all. Other than them just trying to defend their dad. And I don't think that they're going to be very credible. Mm-hmm. Honestly, when you come in to a murder trial of your mother and you're defending Chad's behavior, I think that would be tough to listen to and believe.
As a juror, you listen to all of the evidence of the affair, all of the texts. You listen to Chad texting Lori that he feels like Dursley living under the stairs in Harry Potter. It lives with the Dursleys under the stairs like he's Harry Potter, and he just can't wait to get away from these people. When he was at a family gathering for one of his children's, I think, graduations or something like that, he talked a lot of shit on his family to Lori in those texts, and how he couldn't wait to get away from these people and be free and be with her. And
yeah.
And the more you hear about the affair and the meetups at different hotels and all of the things that they did.
And the James and Elena love story.
Yeah. And the fact that they had been visiting temples together as husband and wife and that Chad had done some faux sealing of the two of them in the temple, even though he was married to their mother. All of those things being said, and then having these kids take the stand and be like, yeah, our mom was always sick. She was always sick. It's just not.
It's not going to play well.
I'll tell you one thing I'm hoping. I'm hoping we see Tammy's principal on the stand. And I'm hoping that Tammy's principal speaks to how many sick days she tended to take. I'd really like to know how many.
They've got all of that. The prosecution has all of that.
You bet they do. You bet they do. And you know how many sick days she took?
None.
Nope. And then,
you know, my impression of Tammy's life is that she stayed as far away from Chad as she possibly could.
Yep.
She worked long days. She did things at night. Yep. She was not around with him that much.
He was kind of living her own life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you think is going to happen there? Because the principal is going to say, Tammy never took days off. Then they're going to have her church partners come in that she served church callings with. And they're going to say, no, Tammy was always here at church. Tammy was always present. Tammy was always on time or early. Tammy was this and that. Yeah, her Fitbit stats, her all of those things, the women she was training for her marathon with, the women in her dance class and her in her Zumba class and her clogging class, they're all going to say Tammy was very healthy. Her sister, who testified last time and did a beautiful job, she's going to say the same thing. This is, those kids can say whatever they want. The jury's not going to hear it.
No, because there's so much evidence that that is not the case.
But I will tell you this. You will never in your lifetime catch Rob Wood or any of the rest of the prosecution be unkind to Chad's kids on the stand. They won't do it. They won't do that for the sake of the jury. They won't. When those kids are on the stand and they put them on cross, they're going to ask them some questions. You will not catch them getting hostile. You will not catch them being mean to them. You will find them showing them sympathy, showing them grace, and trying to help them through this. That's all you'll see. And I wish I could say the same for Pryor, but you won't see that. But they won't.
No, I'm very worried about how he's going to treat Kay. He's going to be an asshole to Kay.
Oh, yeah. He'll be terrible.
Yeah. Because his behavior in the in this trial is it's just mirroring the preliminary.
Oh, yeah. We've seen this all.
And I had kind of forgotten because it's been so long ago. But holy shit, you guys. It was so bad. So bad.
Why does Chad have such a hold over his children? Well, a couple of things. First of all, it's their religion. He is the patriarch of their family. He is he's their authority. And some of them still believe that. The second part of that to me is not so much that Chad has a hold over their family, but I wonder how much of a hold Emma now has over their family. Because Emma, his daughter, has been Team Chad from the very beginning, she and her husband, and have fought really hard for Chad and have stayed really close to Chad. And I, in my opinion, I would say that Emma has probably worked real hard on her siblings. That's just my opinion. I do not have any proof of that.
Yeah. Right. And yeah, some of them may believe he's a prophet.
Some of them seem to be buying what he was putting down. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's all of them.
No, I don't.
But here's the other messed up part of it is that Emma and her family live in there in the house that Chad's defense attorney owns.
Right.
Therefore, he has some undue authority over them because they are paying him rent.
He's their landlord. Live in
that house.
Yeah.
And how does that play ethically? I would really like to know. Jess, if you have anything to say about that, I would love it. We really appreciate you jumping in here with helping us with the legal stuff. But I mean, Emma and her family, they literally pay their rent to John Pryor. I mean, there's also motivation there around the housing situation.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it's very inappropriate that that is the case. But I don't know.
Well, I mean, hey, it's a good point. And it could be something that the prosecution brings up when he tries to call them as witnesses.
I mean, it's public knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with you guys too. Kay is a firecracker. She will kick Pryor's ass up one side and down the other. She will not bend to him. Some of these other women, however, I worry about Zulema. I worry about Melanie Gibb.
Oh, good Lord. They are
kind of weak.
He will crush Melanie Gibb into powder. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He crushed her into powder in the
prelim.
In the preliminary. He was horrible.
Well, David Warwick, too. David David can't hear a damn thing. He's really hard of hearing. He seems to me like his memory has slipped quite significantly. Oh, God. David on the stand is very hard to take. Yeah.
My two cents. Pryor isn't the sole owner now? What do you mean? Last we looked just a couple weeks ago, he was.
Nate reported that like a week or so ago that there might be another name on that deed now. And we'll do a new deed search, but we did a deed search like 3 weeks ago and Pryor was the only one on it. But yes, I've heard that Nate said that. So I'll have to pull up a new deed search on it. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Do we think Arizona could later charge Chad for Charles? No, that ship has sailed. They have publicly said they do not have enough evidence to charge him. They will not be charging him.
Yeah.
Just as there are always ability to waive conflicts, but it's likely more of something to impeach their testimony. If Pryor were smart, he'd bring it out at the beginning and move on quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? I mean, it's a weird situation to be in. I've never seen it happen before. But, you know, this
every
case
attorney
is
that
like
I know
that.
Has not been able to believe that happened.
Yeah.
That you don't take on the deed of a client's house any more than you try and get your client, the judge, to let your client serve their jail sentence or prison sentence at your house. Looking at you, Shannon Smith.
Right. Well, and it was originally when Pryor's name went on, Tammy's estate was on it with Pryor. Mm-hmm. We'll have
Lori's
to take a look.
Lori's attorneys did treat witnesses better. Yeah, it was really, really rare for them to get sideways at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could, but it was really rare. And they were very, very respectful with law enforcement and the FBI and stuff like that. They weren't they were never Pryor-ish. No.
No.
Yeah.
You're wondering how... Oh, if they raised money, sold interest in the house to raise money for the experts. I think the state of Idaho is paying for experts. Mm-hmm. See, Chad qualified as indigent over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to give up Pryor, but Pryor couldn't take this case as a public defender because he is not death penalty certified. So he had a whole year to get somebody on this case with him that is certified to try a death penalty case, and he could not find anyone in over a year to work with him.
Found
indigent, it is possible for him to be able to petition the state and say, hey, I need help paying for this stuff.
Yeah.
So that can happen.
Yeah.
Why was there a GoFundMe in Delphi? Because the judge denied Richard Allen's request for money to pay for experts, even though he is being represented by public defenders.
Yeah.
Because that judge is crooked as hell.
Yep. Surely he didn't want to be second chair. Well, hey,
couldn't even be
right.
Second
he also
chair.
Didn't want to be third chair because he's not even qualified to be second chair. Pryor would have been playing third fiddle at that point.
Yeah, but no one would. And that's why that whole, application to intervene is so interesting. And we don't know. There's nothing filed on his docket. We don't know if that's been ruled on. We heard they were just going to backburner it for now. Are they going to let that guy join in the penalty phase? Because he is a public defender with death penalty certification. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you can see why somebody might be saying, this guy is getting screwed. Mm-hmm. But he's getting screwed because he's
asked
put
to
all
be
his
screwed.
Eggs in the prayer basket.
Yep. I wanted to show you a couple of things that were posted the last 2 days on Facebook from the Tammy Douglas Daybell Foundation. This is the foundation that her family set up after she died. It is for books for kids because, She was a literary specialist, and she loved children, and she loved reading. And so in her honor, last year when Lori was found guilty, we made a nice donation to them, and we'll do that again this year. Yeah. And I will definitely post the link and encourage you guys to do the same. But this was a sweet picture of Tammy that they posted yesterday. I thought was very nice. And then today they posted this one. These are some old family pictures of the Douglas clan. Not pictured future brother, baby Ben. Baby brother Ben. It's the gin. I'm sure. But I just thought that was really sweet. I think that we have to, we tell the jokes around here, and you guys too, and I'm good with it. This stuff is heavy and it's hard, but I think it's always incredibly important that we rein ourselves back to what this is truly about, and that is the murders of some wonderful humans that deserve to live. And so I wanted to share that. But I also just wanted to share something else that I found on Twitter today. Maybe this is a case we'll want to dive into in the future. Maybe not. I don't know. This is a tweet from someone named Kyle Cheney. Prosecutors in D.C. Oh, will you take our banner off? Yes. It's covering the best part. Prosecutors in D.C. just unsealed this gun case. And there has to be a story behind this. The case title is USA versus Hawkins. The defendant's name is D'Artagnan Ricardo Hawkins, also known as Shitty.
Oh, no. Those are... Oh, I hope they keep using the alias, because those filings will be hilarious. Right. Oh, my God.
Also, why couldn't it have been USA versus Shitty? Come on, man.
I know. We all wanted to see that.
There's just no justice. So that's all. I just had to share that with you guys because it almost
We love a good laugh when it comes to crime from time to time, because we all need it.
But I also wondered if this is the state of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell, also known as Slug.
Right. Yeah.
I should have made a new one that looked just like that. Yeah.
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh.
No, well, not Smitty.
Not Smitty. It was Shitty. Wow. Oh, my God. I did want to remind you, we don't do enough to promote ourselves. And as you can see, we put a huge amount of time and energy into our podcast. And we need it to make us a little more money and, you know, to support the amount of time we put into it. So if you can, truecrimesquad.com offers two different ways to tip us. You can go to buy us a coffee, and you can also go to PayPal. Also, the super chat is on in all of our lives, and those of you who have tipped us, it's much appreciated. It is not expected or required, but if you can and you appreciate our work, it does help us a lot, because we are small potatoes, as you know. Some of you who've come to us from much bigger creators, we want to be much bigger. We will keep our same energy. We are just who we are. But we would really would be, you know, we would like to be bigger.
Yeah.
We cover a lot of really interesting things, and we cover things that other people don't cover. And, you know, there's just been a lot of murder in Idaho the last few years. So we've had a lot to cover there. But anyway, anything you can do. Oh, yes. And we are on Patreon as well.
And we
do two extra shows a month for our patrons. Many of you joined our subscription through YouTube, which is much appreciated. All of you are all very much appreciated.
You'll have some fun with that. We have a lot of fun with the subscription.
We do. Yeah. Yeah. So we really appreciate anything, you know, and likes and shares and comments. And, you know, if you're listening to us after the fact on the podcast, reviews, you know, give us five stars podcast. Wherever you can. If that's what you feel, you know, obviously we want it to be real.
No pressure.
But we love what we do. I don't know if you know this or not, those of you that are new, but this is our fifth year. And we have... like 1,100 episodes on YouTube, and we have over 900 now on Spotify. So we have a lot of content.
We don't shut the fuck up. Yeah.
If you are looking to, you know, hey, get stuff, we have a lot of stuff. So anyway, you know, just our own little shameless plug, which we don't make nearly enough, I think. But yeah, we've been around a long time and we have tons of content. If there's a case you've heard of in the last few years, we've probably covered it. We've covered all the big ones and
a lot of little ones.
Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of covering of the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls cases. Mm-hmm. And once this is over, we'll get back to some of those things. We cover a lot of missing persons cases as mm-hmm. well that are not getting enough attention in the news. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we try to do our part to help be a part of the solution. That's important to us. And of course, this case is really important to us.
This case is huge for us. Yeah. We also cover, we have a whole genre that we cover that we call Mormon misdeeds mm-hmm. that is not just the Daybell Vallow case but lots of other crime in Mormon land that we cover.
Yeah, and we'll be getting back to all of that when we are done with this trial. There's a lot of stuff going on actually. We kind of have lots of things coming in for us. Thank you so much for the new members and for gifting membership.
So great.
That is really appreciated. Yeah. You know, we just appreciate your support a lot. We mm-hmm. love what we do and we put our hearts and souls into it and we just want to keep doing that.
Oh, yes, Amy. I'm watching a video on Koberger. Yeah. And you're going to find, but Koberger's been very hard for us to cover. Mm-hmm. Partly because it's on the other side of the state. Partly because of the way it's been covered in general by podcasters and the media that has turned our stomachs. And we will cover Koberger and we continue to cover Koberger, but mm-hmm. Koberger has been one of those cases. That's a good example of who you don't want to be in the podcasting world, unfortunately.
Yeah. The misinformation.
Tried to be very, very careful. Yeah.
We've been real careful with that one.
But I know a lot of our listeners have been puzzled. You live in Idaho. This is a huge case. Why aren't you all mm-hmm. over it?
And we are for the things that matter. Mm-hmm. For the real stuff, we are all over it. But there's so much misinformation out there about Koberger that it's really a concern. Yeah, and yes, Amy, you are correct. Mormons have been wilding out lately. And the Mormon Church itself. There's a lot going on. And we will, continue to be covering all of that as well.
Mm-hmm. I also put a link to my Etsy store, which is where you can get our merch.
Yeah.
And so I put it up higher, but for those that are listening, it is Joyful Goddess Designs on Etsy. It's the gin on Etsy.
There's a link at truecrimesquad.com for it as well.
What do we mean by wilding out? Committing crimes, man. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of criminal stuff.
Yeah. By the time Koberger gets to trial, there will be flying cars. Right.
And it does feel that way
today to judge. We are never going to get to trial. And that's your fault.
That is your fault, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, an ad popped up. Sorry, Tina. YouTube is doing what YouTube does. Yeah. But if you almost wet your drawers, join the club.
I mean, yeah, you're in good company. We're in our later 40s, so we do understand these things. Are we going to cover Sarah Boone? Yes.
We have covered Sarah
Boone, and we are definitely going to be covering that trial.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is going to be some crazy shit, you guys.
Oh, man. Thank you, Kim.
That's,
holy moly. I just really wish Sarah would get over it and just represent herself. Obviously, she does not want an attorney. She hates them all. And I think at this point that she should just definitely just go Darrell Brooks on us.
I know. I've thought that, she might be, she might be, if Taylor Shabusiness and Darrell Brooks had a baby, that would be Sarah Boone representing herself. Because if you didn't know anything about the Shabusiness trial.
Oh, no.
Holy Shabusiness shit, you know.
Times two, because the other one that I really wish would go ahead and just represent themselves is Nicholas Halliburtian.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be the funniest shit you have ever seen in your life.
You mean Arthur Knight?
No, I don't.
I know. No, you don't, because that is not a person. Yes, we have covered Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt significantly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a big one for us. Oh, thank you, Harley, so much.
Yeah, we've covered that one.
Oh, that case
Infinity. Just yeah.
makes me physically ill. But yeah, if you don't know who Nicholas Saliverdian is, go do a search on our YouTube channel and watch some videos on him, because or Nicholas Rossi or Arthur Knight or I don't know. Well, thank there you, are probably Ina. Others. Yes, thank you so
Indiana?
Much.
Indiana? You always picture me talking about Shaprison. Yeah.
Shaprison. Yeah, we had a lot of fun with Shabusiness. Because you know,
probably she, more fun than we should have.
She changed her name, and her husband did too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sarah Boone said it was unintentional. Oh my god, yeah, no.
But Sarah, that's the not videos. Possible. The videos, Sarah.
The videos taunting him while he's dying. It's horrible. She's horrible.
How do you say that, Sarah? Well, Sarah, what Wood. She did Sarah is bananas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Oh, thank you, Sandra. So much appreciated.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah, so Taylor should
be. Oh, Ina Shacrazy. Yes. That name, we went, you know, because her husband is Shabow, right?
Shabow, yeah.
Shabow, and she's Shabusiness, because they changed their names when they got married, and those were the last names they chose. Mm-hmm. Only meth knows why.
You got drugs is why. Yeah. You got drugs Shabow and Shabusiness, and they are both in Shaprison.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I am dead. Our Patreon is just True Crime Squad at patreon.com.
Yeah.
Just go to Patreon and look for True Crime Squad.
Literally more than 4 years worth of content over there. There's a ton of content.
And Patreon's a fun one because we'll do episodes over there that we're not comfortable putting out publicly. Sometimes mm-hmm. because they're just graphic as hell. So sorry about it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just we've done a lot of cults. We've done a lot of like active cults over at Patreon because for our own safety.
Yeah, we're not talking about them.
Some of them.
We learned our lesson when we covered a murder from Slab City, California, and got our asses, our very naive Hick, Idaho asses mm-hmm. kicked. So yeah. We're very careful about some cases do go over there. We do funny stuff over there too. We've just done a couple of hilarious episodes over there.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of wild and inappropriate. So we did them on Patreon.
Christy did one about all these different times that men were out rubbing their genitals on shit and getting in trouble.
or
I did.
It was called Keep It In Your Pants, also out of your pants. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gross, man. Yes. Oh, yeah, that one.
Thank you, Ashley.
That was a good. But yeah, we've done a lot of them over there that we just aren't. They're not for public consumption, maybe. And so we put them in there. But yes.
Oh, yes. Flash fan, the treehouse case. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was a wild one, too. We did cover that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he got a mistrial. Yes, and the prosecutor, I think, indicated that they're not going to try to retry him.
I mean, that was a rough one.
That was a really rough one.
They didn't have that much evidence against him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hard yikes. But yeah,
that's kind of
what we're about. I just love all the new people that we've
got. Oh, Jess says he is going to trial again.
Oh, he is. Oh, Jess.
Yes, and the Apple River guy was found guilty today, which is awesome.
Yeah, ooh. I just thought about how many times with the Apple River one, how many times things like that could have gone that way. How many times you've got egos and idiots and alcohol and people mm-hmm. getting in confrontations that they should walk away from, that they decide to let their ego or their temper run unchecked, and look at what happened. People are dead. People are going to prison. Like, none of that needed to happen on either side.
No, it's awful. Yeah. Awful, awful.
Yeah. Hey, DeSauce. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys. I think that's everything we've got for you for tonight.
I think so.
And we get a reprieve until Monday. I think we all need that much time mm-hmm. for Pryor's voice to stop ringing in our heads.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did want to say, if there's anything that you wanted to see, because we are local, if you want more pictures, mm-hmm. if you want a refresh of Chad's property, if there's something that you want to know more about in this area, throw it out there to us. We're more than happy to take a field trip. You know, if there's something that mm-hmm. we can show you or refresh for you, we're happy to do it. We've been back to Chad's house about a million times.
But thank you, Rachel.
it's almost shameful at this point, but it's
it is. But you know, I mean, I
suck.
when he started talking about that place being, when Pryor started talking about it, that it was a farm, I was just dying. Because, well, we've been there and it is not a farm.
It could be.
Also, not behind a tree. There are a couple of small trees. Yeah. But they don't completely block off all of the property where those kids' bodies were at all. Yeah. Oh, Lydia says more pics of your piggies. Oh, yeah.
I almost got some pics today for you guys. I almost did because I threw a handful of dog food out into the grass for them to gather. And they were putting on quite the show out there. And I was going to take pictures. And then they started to fight. And I went, nope, I'm not. You're going to act like that. You don't get to be stars.
Right. Yeah. The property they visited the day after JJ. Well, we would like to see it too. We have a pretty good idea of who the realtor was. Mm-hmm. But that is a pretty hush-hush situation. People around here do not want to be connected with this case and with Chad anymore. So people are not fessing up.
We've put a bunch of feelers out on that. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten some quiet answers, but not enough that we feel like we know exactly where to go. But we know it was down on the river, and Chad doesn't live far from the Teton River.
Yeah. I mean, we could show you like the area where it was, because it was riverfront. So
I'll do that. I'll go get a little video this weekend of where I think the rough area that I think it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. However, like Chad, the mosquitoes, man, you wanted to put people in tents over there?
Yeah. Bad plan. Also, have you not ever had a winter here before?
Yeah. Well, I think he was going to still live in his house. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, he wouldn't have cared. was Chad really emoting, or was he performing because the jury was watching? Well, he basically just shook his head. I mean, he didn't do like a lot.
Not like he cried or anything, but he did move himself, which is new. But was it a show for the jury? Oh, sure could have been.
I mean, I wouldn't put anything past him at this point.
Mm-hmm. And listen, Ashley, that basset puppy now weighs 38 pounds and is the naughtiest dog in this house. She's a thief. She steals things constantly and takes them into the backyard. She tried to steal my cell phone this afternoon.
She would. On New Year's Eve, I went to go home after midnight, couldn't find one of my shoes. She had taken it out in the backyard. It was frozen solid. It was a wool hey dude, and it was just stiff.
Yeah.
She's a brat.
Yeah. She's stolen so many TV remotes that we are now just using the remotes on our phones because I'm not buying another one. And I'm not just leaving them down. We're putting them up on the entertainment center, but she's climbing up there when no one's looking and stealing stuff.
She's so naughty. So Ashley's wondering if you can find the video when she was a baby. She heard the podcast of that episode, but didn't see the video.
Oh, I'll have maybe to look in another for it. Yeah.
Next week, see if we can get it up.
I'm sure I have it somewhere, Ashley. Actually, millions of videos were taken. Well, she was the cutest baby you've ever seen.
Oh,
but yes, I'll come up with it. And I will get some pictures or video of the pigs this weekend. I'll see if I can get a picture of them dancing. It's pretty cute.
Yes, it is. It is very cute.
Train them to dance when you feed them. Because they will knock their food dish right out of your hand. And it's just annoying. And, their pellets go everywhere. And so we taught them to dance. And so when I go to feed them, I hold up their dish. And all I have to do is look at them. And they go, oh, and they start doing their circles. And you can put their pan down. It's kind of cute. So
it is. Kathy, my cats do that too. Mm-hmm. Get things down off the counter for the dogs, the cats. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're in cahoots. Mine definitely. They like to knock their food bowl on the floor. And then my dog goes crazy with it. I don't know why they do it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we do tend to show a lot of our pets and, we talk about our lives a little bit on here too. Yeah. So anyway, now y'all know us a little bit better. We're excited getting to know you in the chat here and
actually this weekend,
court lights.
This weekend, we're actually going to Utah to spend some time with our cousin. We've talked quite a bit about our cousin whose husband is missing. We talked about this last month, or not about her, but we talked about our cousin who is missing, that went missing last fall, who is still missing. You guys ask frequently, and yes, he's still missing. We're actually going to go to Utah on Saturday and just spend a day with her and just go do fun cousin stuff. And just all of us unwind from this week and just, just be present for her and then spend some time with her. So there's still too much snow up in the area where he went missing for much of a search to commence yet, but we're hoping
It'll be June, in May before that can really happen.
Yeah, probably. But we're really hoping that she'll get some answers and some closure this summer. But in case anyone's wondering, I know you guys ask us quite a bit, but yeah, he is still missing.
Yep, he is. So we'll talk about that and share his poster again when, you know.
The motion to intervene is just tabled. They're just doing nothing with it right now.
We do wonder genuinely if they'll consider it in the penalty phase, if in fact he needs representation to represent him in the penalty phase around the death penalty. I mean, he appears, Ratliff appears to be offering that.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd just be so curious to see how Pryor works alongside someone else who would also obviously want to take charge probably and be like, okay, I've been around the corner on this, around the block. Here's the things we need to do. I don't see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Christy. Yeah, so appreciated. Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't think that anybody could work with him at this point. He's so sure of what he's doing. And I don't know. It's got to be after a year of trying to find someone that the state would have paid for to join this case and he couldn't do it. I don't know, man.
Yeah, we're
right?
Sisters.
They'll be shocked when he's guilty.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We are sisters. That is literally true. We are.
We're about 18 months apart.
Yep.
I was just going to say that next Wednesday night will be the watch party. So that's what we do with our membership on YouTube is we do a monthly watch party and it's so fun. And you guys are fun because, you know, the chat here is fun anyway. But what the watch party is we find a documentary and it's always Netflix so that we're not like stretching you out to too many subscriptions. But it's a we'll find a documentary that we think that we'll all find interesting. Sometimes they're always crime related, of course, you know. And then we do an open chat like this, only you do have to watch it on your own device because we can't stream it because that would be illegal. But members of our membership, you can join that and come and just be in the chat and watch a documentary with us. And we're all in our own recliners eating popcorn and having a drink and chatting watching the show together. And it's fun. The watch party is a ton of fun.
It is. Chrissy, if you're having trouble joining, let me tell you a secret about joining on YouTube. Go on in, not on your phone, because for some reason the button isn't there. Go in a browser on your computer or even on your phone in your phone browser. And what am I saying? Oh, go to True Crime Squad, our homepage of YouTube, and then you will see a little button that says join. But it's only there in a browser and not on your phone because dumb. So anyway, I know everybody struggles with that sometimes, and that's how I know to do it.
YouTube is way too big of a platform to be as problematic as they can be. That I will die on that hill. Oh yeah, yes, OJ absolutely. Died.
OJ did die.
That's a great suggestion, by the way. Maybe an OJ dog.
Oh, that is a good idea. By the way, somebody just asked if I've seen Deadlock. Yes, I have. Oh my God. I know it is fiction, but it is hilarious. It is really, really funny. Yeah. Oh, my two cents says I joined on my phone by the dollar sign. Oh, there's a dollar sign?
Thank you.
Click on that. Click on the dollar sign. Now we know. But yes, if you haven't seen Deadlock, and you just love you some crime shows and some real quirky, funny ones. Oh, Deadlock is hilarious. I am desperate for there to be a second season.
Oh, I got to check it out. We just finished our show. We just watched the Murdoch Mysteries.
Oh, yeah.
That is 17 seasons. We've been watching it since last fall, like every night. That's our wind down show. But well, it's actually still on, but now we'll only get one episode a week, and it's on the last season. So,
oh wow,
I'll go check it out. Yes,
yes, you definitely should. All right, well, I think we got to let all you get some rest, and we need to get some rest too because this has been a crazy week. So, thank you for joining us. We'll be back live all week next week with court, and We'll see what the hell Pryor has to do with the next witness that comes up, because it's going to be some bullshit, and we all know it.
It's going to be bananas. That we know for sure.
You know it. We are the True Crime Squad. Thanks for being here.
Take care.